One of the things we love most around Grace Point is thinking about ways that God can use us to share hope, to share grace, to share truth in every area of our society. A key component of this is thinking about ways that God could use us to be a positive influence in our unique circles of influence, in our marketplace world, our education world, our arts world, our job environment. How could God use us to be a positive difference in each of those unique environments? You see, we believe that God is calling us to be a transforming presence everywhere. So we love hearing about the ways God is using people, and we love hearing how God is using and blessing various folks in their unique environments, particularly out there in the marketplace world. Today, we have some very special guests who are going to inspire and challenge us about this topic of being a transforming leader. Dave Gary was with us a few years ago, and he's with us today. Dave is from Madison, Wisconsin, and God has blessed Dave in amazing ways. He has an incredible heart for God and for encouraging others. And I have been so privileged and honored to be on the receiving end of some of Dave's encouragement, and we're delighted to have him with us today. We're also very glad to have Chris Conrad with us. Chris is going to facilitate our conversation. And for those of you that are not aware, Chris is the leader of the Great Lakes region of our Wesleyan denomination, with which Grace Point is affiliated. Chris is a tremendous leader and a tremendous world-class encourager. I have been privileged to follow Chris's leadership in our region for a number of years, and I'm delighted he's with us today. I just want to let you know that I've had the opportunity to rub shoulders with both of these men various times over the years, and they are the real deal. They are honest, they're authentic, their faith is very, very genuine, and I couldn't be more excited to have them with us today. Now, before I begin the conversation with them, I just need to share with you a special thank you. And that thank you needs to be extended to All Shores Church and their pastor, Pete Yoshanis. As we were planning for today, we not only wanted to give you the very best in-person experience we could, we wanted to give you the best online experience that we could possibly give you. And so, with the permission of All Shores Church and their pastor, we've taken a conversation that Dave and Chris did a few weeks ago at All Shores, and with their permission, we've edited a bit, and we are using it today for our online experience. So the content that will be in person and online will be the same. However, you're going to notice a few specific references to All Shores Church. Once or twice that's going to happen, and you'll notice the background's a bit different than you're normally used to seeing, and they're going to reference a sermon series being done at All Shores. But don't be distracted by that. Don't let it throw you off, because the spiritual and leadership principles that these two men are going to share with us are absolute gold. So let's dive in and let's give them our attention.
Well, our prayer this morning is that you would sense the hand of God's love on your life and that you would sense Him blessing your life. So Dave and I've had the privilege of knowing Dave for about 20 years now. And there's a whole cool story about how we met and what happened there, but we actually don't have time to tell that story this morning. We might come back at another time and tell that story. But Dave, I know you well enough to know that you always have something you want to say at the beginning. So is there anything that you want to say?
Good morning would be the first thing. And the second thing is I just love hanging out with your pastor. You really do have a cool pastor. And I think what I share in common with him is a desire in my heart to be in the presence of God. And your pastor is that way. And I've been with Pastor Chris in a lot of different churches now over the last year or two. The presence of God is here, was here when we walked in. It's really, really fun to be here. So thank you.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think what often happens is that, you know, we say, yeah, the presence of God is here in a place like this, but could the presence of God be where I am in the marketplace? So I'm a mechanic, I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a CPA, I'm a teacher, I'm a nurse, I'm a, you know, you finish that line, whatever it is that you are. I work at Home Depot, I work wherever. Can the presence of God actually be there? Can I sense the presence of God in the marketplace as much as I sense the presence of God in a church setting? And what Dave and I want to talk to us about this morning is that yes, because you see, it's all his kingdom. He's not just interested in the kingdom of the church. He's interested, actually, everything belongs to him. He is the creator of everything. So he is with us wherever we go, even in the marketplace, absolutely in the marketplace. And Dave is a marketplace person. And we just want to share a story or two this morning with you about how God really wants to work in and through your life in the marketplace. Because here's the thing. A vast majority of you who are watching online, a vast majority of you here in this room, you don't get your paycheck from a church. You get your paycheck from somewhere on the marketplace. And if you think that this is the only place where God moves, then that's kind of a boring existence out there. If God doesn't work in my school, if God doesn't work in the marketplace, then I end up bivocating my life. And that's not what God would have for us at all. So
I'm going to try to watch the series online over the next couple weeks or whatever the timeline was, because Made for More is what I felt like I was, made for something beyond what I was doing. And at a young age, I spent a lot of time around. I had a pastor like Pastor Peter, and I really liked being around him. And so I would go with him to church plants and different things like that. His name is Pastor Warren Heckman, and he's still alive, godly man, lives out west now. But I would go with him, and the more I hung out with him, because I just loved his heart and everything, but the more I hung out with him, the more I realized, I'm not sure I'm called to be a pastor. But at that time, I thought maybe I was, because like that just seems holy. That seems like the right thing to do. I mean, I fell in love with God in the local church. My mom and dad, my mom led me to Christ. I'm born again, spirit-filled. I love the Lord. But I also love business, and I was really conflicted because I loved hanging out with him. But what I felt like was I felt like a football player on a basketball court. You know, it's like, this is really cool. I love being around athletics, but they got tennis shoes on and short shorts. They used to have really short shorts in the 70s.
Praise God, they don't have those anymore.
Have you ever seen those replays?
Oh my gosh, it's like I need blindfolds or something.
Put something else on, quick. Yeah. Well, they had those basketball uniforms on, and the more I was with him, the more I realized that I don't think I'm wearing the same uniform. It's not that I don't respect or honor what you do. I just don't think I'm made for that.
Yeah, and I want you to think, I want you to picture that for a minute. I want you to picture basketball players, and they're on the court, and they've got the right tennis shoes on, and so they can move, they can pivot, they can do all that kind of stuff, but you felt more like a what?
I felt more like a football player, to be honest. I could probably run on the basketball court, and I probably could function within the local church, but I didn't listen to me. Some of you need to really hear. It wasn't my destiny. It was not what God created me to do. Now I'm stuck. It's like, okay, well, this is the only sport I see. It's the only cool place to be. It's the only holy place to be, and the only other alternative is over here, and what I think I'm really supposed to probably be doing is I should be in business. I'm gifted in business. So I felt like a football player on a basketball court. That's very frustrating. And I could kind of work with my cleats and run down and cut. But something happened in my life at about 19, 20 years old. I realized that, wait a minute, if I'm truly filled with the Spirit of God and He called me to a destiny, it's not necessarily more holy for me to be a local pastor or on the worship team. That's not more holy than for me to do exactly what Jesus Christ died for me to do and function where He placed me to function. And when I started to realize that through different ways and different means that the Holy Spirit taught me, I started to realize that that glass wall in the back of this building, once it gets shattered, on the other side of that is the football field. And when my feet went out into the city, I began to truly experience the presence of God in my life. I would come to my local church, and I would be
fired up, you'd be.
Yeah, fired up to say the least. I mean, just like ready to go. But then I was like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? And then after that happened, I realized, wait a minute, let me come in here. Let me be counseled and encouraged and equipped, but then sent out. And man, when I got to go out and run in the turf, just like you, you can't believe how fast you can run out there. Your cleats will dig into the turf, and then your shoulder pads and your helmet, all of a sudden they come into play. Shoulder pads and a helmet don't do very much for you on a basketball court. You just fall out a lot faster. But out in the turf in the city, when there's strongholds, demonic strongholds, things that need to be taken down, drug and alcohol abuse, addiction, things like that, those are shoulder pad and helmet things. Those are things that you can break through. When there needs to be the home for the pregnant young women built for those little babies before something else could potentially happen to them, it takes the football players to step out into the community. Here's why I came to Michigan today. I came here to say to you, you were made for more than this. You are not made only for Sunday morning. You are called by God to step out into the community, be sent and anointed by your pastor, your elders, by your local church, and to function out there on that field.
Amen. And I pray that you'd have that sense. But more importantly, your Heavenly Father is begging you this morning to have that sense that He created you for something more. Something more than just coming in and saying, well, I guess if I was a pastor and built like that, then maybe I could really feel his presence and really watch Him go. No, no, no. He wants to work through you. He's begging you to have this sense that you were made for more, and He put that inside of you. So we're going to talk about that in really, really practical, pragmatic ways in the next few minutes. What does that actually look like when we run in the marketplace and we join with God in the marketplace? Okay, just really pragmatically, just down to earth. So Dave, let's go back, because one of the things that I know about you is you're a dynamic salesperson. Like you have the ability to sell. And when you were 19, 20, something like that, you were selling car stereos. And these two guys walk in and they want to buy a stereo, but they also want to outfit this place. And so they begin to talk to you, and they're so impressed by your salesmanship that through a series of events, they end up calling you and saying, hey, you're working in that, you know, that place, but we have another idea for you. You don't want to come work for us in the health club business, because that's what they were running. And eventually they called you and said, would you be interested in managing a health club on the west side of Madison? And you're from Madison, Wisconsin. So they invited you to come and be the general manager of a health club. And you're pretty young, like 22 years old at this point. And you're thinking, wow, that is cool. But it's a Sunday night and you've never met any of these folks. And you're about to meet your 75 employees that worked at that health club, and they've set this meeting up on a Sunday night to meet their new boss, to meet their new general manager. So why don't you take it from there, and what was that night like?
So it's an opportunity of my lifetime. I'm really excited, and this is the real world. So this is like you showed up, you know, tomorrow morning at work. That's kind of what I was doing, except I was showing up and I was kind of being promoted, but I didn't know any of the people, and I didn't really know the president and the vice president of this company all that well at this point. So as I'm walking up on this platform where they're introducing me, something happened to me somewhere between my chest and my belly button, kind of right in here. Now, when I say this sentence, I don't want to make this sound weird, but I just sense that God asked me a question. Okay, now I don't hear God in my ears. I don't hear anything in my ears.
No, he's deaf, basically, almost.
I don't hear anything.
He's almost deaf.
And I didn't even listen to a lot of rock and roll either. Yeah. I don't get it, but anyway. I'm walking up to the platform and I have this invitation. And when I sense God, when I feel like God is communicating with me, it's somewhere between my chest and my belly button, kind of right here. And it's in my spirit. I mean, God is spirit and He communicates through His spirit. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So that's how I know that God is leading me. Here's what I sense. Will you put me first? No, is what I'm thinking. Not here. I mean, yeah, Sunday morning, but it was, will you put me first? And I knew it was the Lord. And so I'm walking up front, and I've never had this happen before. Like, not at work. Will you put me first? So as I got to the platform, they hand me the microphone, they introduce me, and I stand right here like this, and I say, okay, before I even start, I want to do something. I just want to take a second and put God first. So I duck my head down like this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do you know how long that prayer is?
About 4 days long.
It's ridiculous. It took forever.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know what else to do. Now, that sounds like that was really awkward. It really wasn't that awkward in the room. It felt a little awkward for me at first.
Right.
But nothing unusual happened. They didn't fire me. Nobody laughed. It all worked out.
Yeah, but you had this sense that you had pleased the Lord in that setting.
I didn't earn anything in that moment, but I knew that I took this first step of obedience in a very difficult moment. And I feel like for this David, it was the first step out into the kingdom of God, into the marketplace from the kingdom of the church, the local church. I took that first step. It was huge for me.
And I think that is so key for us to recognize that sometimes I think we feel like if we're going to put God first in the marketplace, that we have to do something so outrageous, or we have to invite everyone immediately to a Bible study. We have to do something like that. All David did was be obedient to what the Holy Spirit told him to do in that setting.
You know what, Pastor? It was also not something I thought to do.
Yeah.
That was not my idea. Hmm. So when you say obedience, yeah. And I thought about this earlier, it was obedience to him asking me something. Hmm. It wasn't, hey, I got a great idea. I'm going to go do this. That's not what I did. Hmm. He asked me a question, and I answered in the best way I knew how. And I didn't earn anything, but I did feel like I pleased him. I know how hard that was, and I think I could almost tell he knew how hard that was for me to do.
Hmm. Okay. And you were simply obedient in that moment. That's all
it.
You were.
That's all. One little baby step.
And there are times when God just asks us to be obedient in that baby step. And again, there wasn't. You went on from there. I mean, you said
it was sort of like back to normal right after that.
Exactly.
It was just that one. I think this is what we miss. It was about that big of a deal to anybody on the earth. To me, it felt like it was, huge, just because I was nervous and I was afraid. But it wasn't that big of a deal, really, in some respects.
Right. And so you started leading that. You got up the next morning, you started leading that team, and you led that team for a few years. And then Dave's father was a marketplace person as well, and his dad ran a Napa store, never made more than $15,000 in his life. And but Dave looked to his dad for counsel every once in a while, and he was just not so sure about these folks that he was working for, just not so sure that they were the most ethical folks in all the world. So he had a check in his spirit after a couple of years and just said, I'm not sure this is right. And so he actually left that company. And meanwhile, if you've ever been to Madison, Wisconsin, or if you've ever seen pictures of Madison, there's very much, more than hardly any place I've ever lived, there's a west side of Madison and an east side of Madison, very distinct. And if you've lived in Madison, which I've done for about 6.5 years, there's a very distinct different parts of Madison. And in between those two places is an isthmus that's about a mile wide. And that's where the capital of Wisconsin is. And that's also where the University of Wisconsin-Madison is. It's kind of on that little isthmus. Well, Dave's this first entree, if you will, into the health club business was on the west side of town. Well, he goes to the east side of town, and there's a health club over there that's just gone under. It's just gone bankrupt, basically. And so the equipment's kind of sitting there kind of in a strip mall, kind of a little bit bigger than that. But that's what's there. And Dave's dad has a friend from high school who's a real estate developer. So Dave kind of considered him an uncle, if you will, and just reached out to him. He just went and sat in his uncle's, not really, but kind of an uncle's office and just said, hey, what would you ever consider sponsoring me to go into this health club business here on the east side of town? Dave had $1.95 to his name. This other guy had all the money. And they just began to talk for several days. And finally, the guy said, yeah, let's go into partnership together. And so they reopened. And there's a cool, cool story behind that. But they reopened this health club on the east side of town. And as I always like to say at that point, Dave then just really went to work for about 6 years, getting up very early in the morning, opening up the health club. And there are times right now in your life when it just feels very normal. What I mean by that is you're just working hard. You don't see a whole lot of return, but you're just working really hard. Is there anything you want to say about that season of your life on the east side of the club? Okay.
No, I did work hard just like you do every day. So there wasn't anything real magical or mystical about it. It was just hard work. Did that for about 3 years, and then started to be stirred in my heart. It's like, well, this is going pretty good. We're turning a profit. It's growing. Lots of people are joining. I want to go to the other side of town. And, you know, if you're in business, that makes sense. Let's go do another restaurant or another whatever, different locations. So I went across to the other side of town after maybe sixth or going on seventh year. I went to the other side of town, met two gentlemen that were my partner's age. They were older men. They were in their probably later 60s. And they owned this huge shopping center, and there was a health club in that. And I said to them in a meeting, just a preliminary meeting, would you ever consider maybe letting my partner and I buy you guys out? Because I'd like to have a club on both sides of town. And, you know, but they're not really paying that much attention to me. I'm pretty young, but they knew my partner. We begin having discussions. We get to the point where, after many meetings, we've concluded, yes, this is going to happen. So now we're going to, my partner and I, well, my partner, I'm along for the ride, is going to buy this operation. So we're going to give them $1 million up front, and then we're going to sign a lease, and we're going to have access to this fitness center on that side of town and the equipment, things like that. And so I'm like so excited because, you know, God stirred my heart. I'm supposed to go to the other side of town. I don't really know these guys that well. All of a sudden, the meeting's working. This is starting to happen. You know, interestingly, I never realized that it had nothing to do with me when I met the older gentleman. It was because of my partner that they took the meeting. Mm. That's pretty significant for me to realize. But when you're young, you don't even think of those things. You're just ready to go, 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 go. We get to the point, we have a deal.
You're going to buy it for $1 million.
We're buying it for $1 million.
Right.
We get everything. And now we have a closing date set to do this deal. This is where this gets really hard for me, because I'm on the second floor of a bank. I come off the elevator, and as I step off the elevator, what I'm stepping off to and into is, like, from here to the back wall is the conference room. And in that conference room is everything I ever dreamed of. There's stacks of paper, and if I sign these, if you've ever been to a closing, you know, you sign and stuff, but when it's done, it's yours. That's what was in that room. So there's attorneys in there and accountants and a stack of papers and those other people, partners. And as I step off the elevator and I take about a step or two, somewhere here between my chest and my belly button, it's not an invitation this time. It's the word stop. And it was so strong. It was like if the kids were little and they were running out into the street, and a car was coming, and your dad was standing up in the grass and yelled out, stop, you know, just real intense, stop. That's what it felt like, okay? That was weird for me.
I bet.
Now, here's the conflict I had. I have been a believer for a while now, and I know my Father's voice, and I'm almost 100% sure that that was him. But I'm so confused because I'm like, no, wait a minute, there's an enemy too. So maybe right before I'm ready to step into my destiny, everything I ever wanted in that room, maybe it's just the enemy standing behind the elevator door and going, stop, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Except I know my Father's voice just like you do because you've learned who he is and how he speaks to you. I'm convinced it's my Father's voice. I got a problem coming up.
So in that room is what you sense is your destiny. The Heavenly Father tells you stop. And the problem is that if you stop, what's going to happen is that you're going to slay your reputation, your business reputation in the city. People are no longer going to take you seriously.
I would say I would just literally slaughter my reputation. If I walk into that room and I act like one of those goofy Christian guys, and I walk into the real world in obedience, I'm going to wreck my reputation. And I'm young enough, and I've tried so hard on the first one and worked so hard, I don't want to screw up my reputation. Mm-hmm. But worse than that, I don't want to screw up my relationship with him either, because I could have gone into the room. Now, this sounds flippant and trite because I stepped off the elevator and I'm making this sound so dramatic, except that's exactly what happened. I have 500 employees, $52 million business today. I'm not flighty or flippant. I just know my Father's voice. And I'm telling you, and if it wasn't the enemy, it was God that told me stop. I don't get it. I don't want to get it. I don't want to do it. I want to walk in there and sign my destiny and go on with the things you told me to do. You sent me across town to do this. It must be you. Except it's not you. And now if I go in there, I'm in disobedience. And now guess what? Dave's building Dave's kingdom. I didn't sign up for that. I surrendered that a long time ago. So if you're truly telling me to stop and it's not you, you better let me know in about the next 40 steps because I'm going to destroy my future if it's not you. Nothing, 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 nothing. So now I have to walk into a room and say to those people in that room, I pray about things before I do them. For some reason that I cannot explain to you, I'm not supposed to do this deal right now. Well, if looks could kill,
you wouldn't be here today.
No, I mean, they weren't displeased. They were mad. They were angry. Well, who wouldn't be? You know, you ever been to a closing when they ditched on you? It's not a cool thing. I just sort of backed out of the room. I didn't really know what to say except, you know, I know we spent money and I will do the best I can to get everybody evened up on that. I'm sorry. Probably the best thing I can do is leave. And I think I actually backed out of the room. I'm not sure what I thought was going to happen, but I left and I went back, I guess, across town.
And your own partner was there, the other guys, and you went back to town and you got in your car and you left. There's got to be this sense of what just happened there.
It was a lot of stuff. It was embarrassing. I mean, it's kind of humiliating. I mean, for one of the first times in public, I'm going to share my confidence in God, and then I gotta explain I'm not supposed to do this. I look like a complete idiot. I mean, it was actually embarrassing. It hurt. And then here's the worst part. I thought I was maturing as a believer and starting to kind of like hear God, know God. I thought I was starting to follow him better outside the four walls of the church. I thought I was starting to follow him better out in the city. And the first time I go after something big, he stops me. And so, yeah, I'm like, what did I miss? It wasn't a fun time, but, you know, time goes on and you just go back to work.
So you went back to the east side of town. You continue in that business on the east side. And then a year passes and your phone rings. So pick it up there.
The phone rings. David, yeah. Hey, Don, how you doing? It's my partner called me. He goes, hey, are you sitting down? I said, yeah, I am, as a matter of fact. I'm at my desk, and for you younger kids, the phone had a coily thing that connected to the wall. That's how we talked to people back then.
My daughters have no idea what that even means. Yeah, they have no idea.
They don't know what a phone book is either.
No.
So he says, I'm sitting down. What's up? I can tell he's all excited. This is exactly what happens. It's a year later after I destroyed my reputation. He says, David, Mr. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so just left my office. Those are the two men that were in that room that owned that fitness center on the other side of town. They just left their friend's office, Don, my partner. David, they're getting out of the health club business. And my heart starts pounding. And they want to know if we'll come over, they're going to go ahead and do a deal with us. They're going to give us the health club. I said, what do you mean, give us? We can do it? Do you still have the money available to do the deal? He goes, oh, no, they don't want my money. They're getting out. They just want to be landlords. If you'll sign, we'll sign the lease. He said, if I'll sign the lease and you'll come over and run this club, they're going to hand me the keys to the front door. No $1 million? No. All the equipment? What about that? They're going to give us all the equipment. They're going to give us all the membership contracts. They're going to give us the whole thing. You want to do it? My heart is pounding out of my chest. I'm like, yeah, well, I'll be right over. So I can't even believe what I'm hearing. It's like, you're kidding. You're going to give us the health club? And I sat back at my desk after I hung up, and I wanted to jump on top of my desk and do cartwheels, and then I wanted to cry. I didn't know what to do. And I remember thinking as I kind of looked up, like, first of all, who are you? And how do you do stuff like this? Because I was so blown away. And then in a very beautiful moment right after that, I had this sense and this remembrance of something that happened to me a decade earlier. See, when I was first introduced in the health club business, I was ready to be introduced at 7 o'clock at night, and I got this little invitation somewhere between my chest and my belly button, will you put me first? What I didn't say earlier is, in Proverbs, the Bible tells us that if in everything we do, if we put God first, He'll direct and crown your efforts with success. That's honestly why I wanted to put God first. I wanted to be successful at it. And it dawned on me that God has just handed me the keys to the premier health club on the other side of town. Wait a minute, the other side of town. You mean the side of town where the platform stood? Where on a Sunday night at 7 o'clock, the Holy Spirit said, hey, will you put me first? That club? You mean that one? The one that I just got the keys for was the one I stood on a decade earlier, and God handed me the keys to the whole operation? Yeah, that one. He gave me the whole thing.
God doesn't love Dave 1 ounce more than he loves you. God wants to work in the marketplace. Deeply, desperately, is looking for people that will partner with him to work in the marketplace, to join him in what he's doing in the marketplace. And just to give you a sense, that was a club that they actually overgrew. So this is the East Side Club, the East Side Princeton Club. This is a club, they now own 9 clubs throughout Wisconsin. That's one near Milwaukee. And this is, the West Side Club now. But all that came out of just a sense of where you put me first. Where you put me first. And I want to share one last thing if I can, and then Dave, you may have some other things. But did you want to say, yeah, this is really cool. Like the roof and all that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, guys, go ahead and roll it. This is the second service. Maybe we'll take an extra 60 or 90 seconds. We've got a video. So that's obviously the same building. You can see the top of it there. That's the roof. I don't know if you want to see it, but that's awesome, real turf. It's just incredible. I was just up there 2 weeks ago. It's just beautiful. And there are tennis courts on the other side, awesome eating place up there.
You know what's so cool about that, other than that's really cool, period. I just love that, is that that overlooks the city of Madison on the west side. And from a marketplace standpoint, that's really neat. You know, because it is really neat. If you're in business, that's really cool. That's a big building, 50,000 members, a lot of members. That's cool. But that's a well that God built in my city. And the resources from that, unbeknownst to most people, can be used for lots of different things. That's actually one of the things that's really exciting for me, is some of the events and the activities that have happened because of that.
Which leads to what I wanted to kind of close this with. So the reason that I moved to Madison, Wisconsin, and when I met Dave, is because we were there to plant a church. And my wife and I were there for 6.5 years. Because this is my gig, Dave is the marketplace business guy. He knows so much. I know a little bit about churches and planning churches. So there's been a little over $2 million that's been spent in the city of Madison to plant churches, to start churches that no longer exist. So think of that, $2 million to start churches that don't exist today. But through the resources of the Princeton Club and God just moving Dave's heart and God directing, that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day, but God led Dave to bring churches together and to underwrite a crusade that happened in Madison, Wisconsin, that was totally underwritten by Dave and then the Princeton Club, a 4-night crusade that took place. And in that 4 nights, a total of 1,479 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ for the first time. 1,400 and now, yeah, what's really, really cool about that is guess what God did? He used a marketplace person. He used a marketplace person to do it. $2 million spent on churches that no longer exist. A marketplace person just living in obedience to God and watch what I can do. Would you please not sell yourself short? You were made for more. You were made for more. And God wants to do supernatural things for you. So please don't you dare allow the enemy to trick you into believing that you don't have greatness in you, because you do. You have the Son of God on high living inside of you.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Chris. I'm so grateful for your wisdom, for your honesty, and for letting God use you to speak to our hearts today. Can you imagine what God could do if you and I would just be willing to let Him use us to be a transforming presence in our circles of influence. Can you imagine what God could do in our communities if we would just be the catalyst to ignite a leadership movement of transforming leaders that would touch every sector of our society? I believe that things could change in our community for the better. Things could change in our businesses, in our schools, in our offices, in our families, everywhere for the better if you and I will just let God use us. So could I ask you, what is a step that you could take today that would just move you in the direction of being a transforming leader that God can use to be a transforming presence in your circles of influence? I'd love to pray with you that God would help us as we take these steps together. God, you know our lives, you know our circles of influence, you know all of the things that are a part of us. And it's our desire, God, that you would be able to use us to make a difference for good and for you in our world. And God, we think about the places that you have positioned us in the marketplace, in the educational world, in the business world, in the medical field. God, you've placed us in all of these unique circles of influence. And I pray that you would help us just to take the steps that you call us to so that we can be used by you to make a transforming difference in our world. We pray that you would give us courage to live out this truth in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.